Good morning. It is Friday, July the 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin this Friday by thanking God it's Friday. And many people probably here in the United States are getting a day off today, so thank God for that. But a day off is just a day to be more on for Jesus and his kingdom. So let's begin this Friday with prayer, with a consecration of all that we are unto him. Right? Isn't that what consecration's about? It's saying, Jesus, all of you for all of me, and all of me for all of you. That's why we say, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, When Your Life Becomes a Case Study for the Scriptures. Our text is Acts chapter 21, verses 37 to 40. As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander, "May I say something to you?" "Do you speak Greek?" he replied. "Aren't you the Egyptian who started a revolt and led 4,000 terrorists out into the wilderness some time ago?" Paul answered, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please, let me speak to the people." After receiving the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic, "The word of the Lord." That's a cliffhanger, huh? Have to wait till Monday to get the rest of that story. Well, now consider this. Remember Agabus? He was right. Just as prophesied, Paul found himself bound in two chains. Jerusalem was turning out to be all the Holy Spirit promised. Utter pandemonium prevailed. The soldiers thought Paul was some kind of jihadist. It's hard to imagine the level of vitriol and violence being spewed at Paul. The, quote, peace of Jerusalem felt like a pipe dream. So what about Paul? Was he scared out of his wits? Not a chance. In the midst of all this chaos, Paul saw his moment. He played the citizenship card. He asked for the microphone. A silent hush fell over the crazed crowd. He began speaking in Aramaic. Maybe you've heard the perhaps apocryphal story about the Chinese word or character for crisis. They say it also means opportunity. This is a case study in that. The world sees a crisis. The apostle sees an opportunity. What looks like sure martyrdom turns out to be a bigger microphone. Our God stands ever ready to take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it into something good. Consider this a Genesis 50:20 case study. It's moments like these that fuel the freight of some of Paul's most famously inspired words. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Consider this unfolding scene and scenario a Romans 8:28 case study. In fact, this would turn out to be the unlikely way Paul would get his ticket to the place he longed to go the most, Rome. It's moments like these that give Paul the coin to say things like, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Consider this a Philippians 4, 6 and 7 case study. It's moments like these that give Paul the credibility on top of credibility to say things like, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand." That's Ephesians 6, 10-13. Consider this an Ephesians 6, 10-13 case study. That's what I love about the Acts of the Apostles. It's like the biggest case study of the whole Bible. It is all coming true. The good, the bad, the hard, and the beautiful. Right before our very eyes, through the life of this apostle and the lives of so many others in his company. And the case study is still unfolding today through you and me. We are witnesses. And as they say, a hater's gonna hate. So what does an apostle say to a crowd of haters in a moment like this? Stay tuned. The prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. And thank you for showing us, showing me, that the secret to being like you is having you in me, filled with the Holy Spirit. And so because of that secret, I pray I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. I receive your word, all of it, with all of its profound and often brutal realism. And I release all of my theories and hypotheses and imaginings that are often so vain and thinly optimistic. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary. For the glory of God our Father, amen. Our journal prompts today, reflect on this statement. What looks like sure martyrdom turns out to be a bigger microphone. Where are you seeing the scriptures unfolding as a case study in your life about now? Well, we've got a big hymn on tap today, like we do every day. This is number 626. Are you ready for it? Marching to Zion. It's titled, Come We That Love the Lord, but it's popularly known as Marching to Zion, 626, 626 in our Seedbed Hymnal, our Great Redeemer's Praise. Now, if you've not ordered a Seedbed Hymnal, now, today, would be the day to do it. And boy, what a hymnal we have here. We're going to sing all four verses with feeling, with gusto. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Goodness. You know, as I was singing that, I was just remembering my old friend, Maxie Dunham, Maxie and Jerry Dunham. I remember when our children were little and we were in their home working for him at Asbury Seminary, and they would lead that song, and they taught it to our children, and we'd just march around the room singing, we're marching to Zion,
Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
You know, I got a text from Maxie a couple of days ago. It was about one of the readings from last week. He said, I can't imagine, you got me today. He said, he listens, he and Jerry are listening every day in Memphis, Tennessee, where they live in a retirement village. He says, you got me today. I can't imagine. This was the day when I wrote, leaving is the only way home. That entry about leaving. You got me today. He said, I can't imagine having more leavings than I have had, most of them redemptive. I'm on the verge of my biggest leaving. My next stop, heaven. You know, that's coming for all of us. None of us know when, but we need to keep the big picture in mind. We need to keep the main thing. The main thing. And we are citizens of heaven. We're looking for a better country. And God has prepared for us a city, the scripture says, with foundations. And those of us who are, you know, feeling and knowingly on the precipice of the end of this mortal life, we need to take heart. Take heart. My friend Ernesto, who writes me regularly, Wake Up Call Reader, and he regularly references the shores of unceasing praise, of going to the shores of unceasing praise. So don't be discouraged. Don't despair as you feel this frail earthly tent around you begin to falter. And maybe your mind is slipping. You're losing your memory. Maybe cancer feels like it's winning. And maybe cancer thinks it's winning. Don't be afraid. Jesus has overcome. And what awaits you, what awaits us, is far greater than we can imagine. I think about that text in 2 Corinthians 4 where he says, therefore, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Let's back up even a verse. He says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them. Therefore, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is passing away, but what is unseen is eternal. So, how's that for Friday? Man. Tears, joy, sadness, loss, gain. This is the gospel, and we're here for it. So we're marching to Zion. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high. To fairer worlds on high. We're marching, friends, to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Grab your seeds, friends. We're going to sow all the way there. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.